happy, okay? The children are excused for junior church. The verse that I'm going to read right now, three verses actually, are familiar to you. In Genesis 5, verses 22 through 24, it says, "And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." What a fantastic way to go. I just can't help but wonder what Enoch thought when God took him to be with him, and he didn't have to go through death. Have you ever thought about what a privilege it is? And what a privilege it would be to experience what Enoch experienced. He was walking with God, right at his side. He was with God. He was probably talking to him as he walked. And Enoch didn't do what you and I do. Enoch didn't fall behind where God was walking. He kept up with God. You can't walk with a person if you don't keep up with them. He didn't let God get ahead of him. He was right beside God. I've got a question for you. You know I love questions. Have you ever walked with God? You know, there can be times in all of our lives where we experience that, where we are right where God wants us to be because God is right there. And you just feel his presence, the warmth, the love. When you are walking with him. Doesn't happen very often, folks. Our lives are so complex, and this world pushes in on us, and so there are few times that we walk with God. I think of some missionaries that I know who are out there by themselves, even ladies, especially ladies, walking with God, depending upon him to protect them and take care of them and do for them what needs to be done. Oh yes, there's men out there doing the same thing. But have you ever done that? Have you ever walked with him? You know, I've tried to walk with God. I just don't seem to be able to get it quite right. I seem to either be behind where God is, or I'm running ahead of him. And sometimes because of my life and what I think, it looks like I'm trying to outrun him. And things don't go so well. I think that it has something to do with my pride and my thinking that I'm a lot smarter than I really am. it makes me wonder a little bit about when and where I took that course on stupid. I think I did quite well in it. I think I aced the course. Problem is, I don't remember taking it. Now, I really don't expect any of us to be like Enoch. He was a very special man. He lived at a very special time before things got too complex. I like to think I'm walking with God, but there are a lot of things that I want to thank Him for, a lot of things that I want to know about. You're probably the same way. You've probably made the statement sometime. I hear the statement all the time. Boy, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask this or I'm going to ask that. And people, we're not going to ask anything. We're going to be just as quiet as we can be so that we don't get noticed. Sometimes, when I'm trying to walk with God, and sometimes perhaps when you are trying to walk with God, we fall behind where God wants us to be. Or we're so far ahead that when He speaks, we can't hear Him. We cannot understand Him. And that's when we know we're not where God is. We're not walking with Him. I'd like this morning for us to think about walking with God. We know that Enoch walked with God. We know, too, that Noah walked with God. In Genesis 6:9, it says, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God." Well, I know I'm not a perfect man, so that sort of lets me out. I try to do what God wants me to do, but life and the old man keeps getting in the way. That brings up a question. Is it possible for any of us to walk with God? Is it possible? I believe that it actually is possible. If we work on the way that we walk and where we walk, let's think about that this morning. I guess the best place for someone getting started in their walk with God would be in the place where God would walk. The first place that He would walk is where there's a lot of love. God wouldn't walk where there is not a perfect love, or where love doesn't work well. Sometimes in our relationships, we don't love like we should, and we get distracted or we get focused on self-love. We all do at times. And we can't walk with God because that's not a perfect love. Lately, I've seen an example being selfish and not giving to others first. There was a time that I used to think that I needed time to be alone to consider what I was supposed to do, but if I spend time in the Word of God, I'll know what to do. So will you. It's not time alone with myself that I need. It's not time alone with yourself that you need. It's time alone with God. That's what we all need. And that doesn't come too frequently. Life won't let it come. We get busy. Life keeps crowding in. And pretty soon, time is spent. It wasn't spent the way it was supposed to be spent. Where does that put each of us in our relationship to walking with God? Well, time in the Word gets us to the first step. I believe that there are certain places that God does not walk. In the 25th chapter of Job, Job asks a question. Job 25:4 says, "How then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman?" That's an interesting question. If we come up with an answer that tells us that we are soiled because of our birth and of our life, does that mean that we can't walk with God and that we should give up trying to walk with God? No. I don't think that's what God is trying to tell us. I think that it means that we are not cleansed thoroughly enough from this life, from this world, to a lot of times walk with God. We're not spending enough time at the fountain for cleansing. And there is a fountain. We sang about it this morning when we talked about the family of God. I hope you've all been to that fountain. I hope that that fountain cleanses you regularly. God will work there. Let's look at another place that God will not walk. He won't walk where there's falsehood. If a person is going to be at all dishonest, God will not have anything to do with him. And one thing that a lot of Christians don't realize is that excuses are dishonest. Blame is dishonest. Sin of any kind is an obstacle to God's working. And we can't expect to walk with God anytime that we find ourselves in a sin situation. Pride keeps us from walking with God. Talked about that a little bit in Sunday school this morning. The scripture doesn't tell us outright, but if we think about it, we know that there is no place for pride. Pride absolutely destroys any relationship that we might have with God. Bobby talked this morning about Paul having pride. I think Paul was a very proud man to start with. God knows exactly how to bring us down. We don't want to go there. None of us do. I know that in the book Pilgrim's Progress, written by John Bunyan, that the one place he didn't want to be, Christian didn't want to be, was in the valley of humiliation, because it's like a valley. God does not walk in the presence of pride. The devil does, but God doesn't. At this juncture, I want to introduce a concept that Jesus gave us. He gave it to us in Matthew 19:20. "But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Folks, he can walk with him. It's possible. Not because of who you are or even where you are, but because of who God is. And with God, all things are possible. So as we think about walking with God, we know within our own hearts, walking with God is impossible. But Jesus said that with God, all things are possible. And this may mean that we can't walk with God because we are not holy enough. But God can walk with us because he forgave our unholiness. What a thing he did for us. He forgave our unholiness. There probably have been times where you've spent time walking with God, or at least God spent some time walking with you, because he was the one who did the walking. He moved to where you were. It wasn't you moving to where the Lord was. Jesus talked about it in Luke 18:27, and he said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." I believe that God really wants to walk with us, but we just aren't in a place where he can walk. Now, God reaches out to each of us in an effort to lift us up out of the sin in this life so that God can bring us alongside and improve our life. We may not be able to walk with him every day, but God is going to bring us as close to him as he can, or that our lifestyle will permit. Let me say that again. God is going to bring us as close to him as he can, or that our lifestyle will permit. Look at where Paul has put us in relationship to God. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That's where we stand. That's where we are as a result of being saved. Since we can't walk with God because we're not on the same level as God, God chooses to at least stand with us in an effort to provide peace. We get to God through Jesus, and through Jesus we find that we are surrounded with the grace of God, covering our lives in unspeakable joy. And that is boiling around us. Unspeakable joy of God. There was the grace of God covering our lives and the unspeakable joy boiling within us. But there was actually a time when I thought that joy may have departed. But God has an unlimited supply of joy. He can pour joy into your life, no matter where you are or what stage of life you are in. The first thing that needs to happen is that we must come to God in total humility, seeking the Holy Spirit's working in our hearts and in our lives. You might ask, how does that happen? How does that happen? Well, God's Word tells us Matthew 6, 31 through 33. Matthew 6, 31 through 33, and that's another familiar passage of Scripture. It says, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all those things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of those things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." That's the truth. That's the word of God. He cannot lie. Are you a Gentile? Yes, you probably are. That's anybody who's not a Jew. And if you're not Jewish this morning, you're a Gentile. Could the problem be that we are conditioned as Gentiles to live differently than God wants us to live, or the way he wants his children to live? You remember how you lived as a Gentile? You remember that old man that lived near you? Do you remember that old man, what that old man liked to do, and the kind of things that the old man pursued in his life? Remember that someone warned you about that old man, and that you shouldn't hang around him because he was a bad influence on you? I hope that you have had an experience somewhere along the way with an old person, an old man, to learn from it. There have been a couple of old men in my life. When I was a teenager, he was the caretaker for the Rotary Club next door to our farm. They had about 90 acres of forest and camping, and they had an old man living there just to maintain it. I think they were just being kind to him. He was a bit of a drunk. But we kids just thought he was marvelous. He knew how to do so many different things. He got us into more trouble than you can ever imagine. You know what God wants us to learn from that? There's another old man that we know. You know an old man. He lives here. He lives here. And Paul tells us we got to get rid of him. Jesus wants to get him out of your life. He can't live here and have the Holy Spirit living here either. You can't bring the two of them together. Either you get rid of the old man and let the Holy Spirit fill you up, or you keep a little bit of the old man just for old time's sake. And he continues to get us in trouble. He continues to lead us into sin. Well, we don't intend to sin, but he leads us there. You know, we may not want to admit it, but we all have an old man in our life. Unfortunately, many times he's a pretty good friend. The Apostle Paul tells us all about him in three of his epistles. And I don't know if we're ready to take notice of that old man like we should take notice. Paul first mentions the old man in Romans 6, 6 and 7. knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. I read these verses early in my new life as a Christian, but I don't think that I really understood what they meant or what the cost might be. Getting rid of the old man is like tearing an arm or a leg off. It's like tearing out our heart to get rid of the old man. He's such a part of each one of us. He is. The problem is that we can't walk with God until we actually get rid of him. You see, he's connected to the sin in our lives. He always has been and will forever be connected to sin. And if we're going to ever walk with God, that old guy has got to go. Paul tells us in Ephesians 4, 22 through 24, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Get rid of the old man. Get rid of the sin that lingers. Put on the new man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. The walk with God for each of us begins with our being alone with God. That's where it starts. We don't need the old man accompanying us on that walk. I don't believe Enoch had one. I don't think Noah had one. I don't think they had an old man. They walked with God. Keep in mind that the old man represents sin, and it is sin that separates us from God. In order to walk with God, we have to make sure that the old man is thoroughly crucified. Our life must be different, and we should have the mind of Christ. That is what can be changed by the Holy Spirit when he causes us to be born again. And as long as we continue to let the old man be a part of our life, we are not going to be able to walk with God. The old man lives in opposition to God. So we are to get rid of the old man and to put on the new man, the Holy Spirit. Paul makes one other comment about the old man in Colossians 3, 9 through 17. I know this is a long passage, but turn to Colossians 3, if you will, and read along with me as I read this passage. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now the Creator is the Holy Spirit of God, who made us alive again. Verse 11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Verse 14, and above all these things, put on love, charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. You want to walk with God? First of all, you got to walk with Jesus Christ. If you want to walk with God, get rid of the old man entirely, and God will walk with the new man anytime that you want. Say that again. If you want to walk with God, get rid of the old man entirely, and God will walk with the new man anytime that you want. It is a special blessing to be in the presence of God without distraction. Try it. I think you'll like it. Father, we want to walk with you. We want to be close to you. We want to do the things you would have us to do. Father, we want to glorify you, not ourselves. May your Holy Spirit minister to our hearts. May he improve our minds. May he give us the mind of Christ. And Father, we will thank you, we will love you, and we will follow you. Help us, Father, each one of us, to walk with you in this week to come, that your will might be done, your purpose might be fulfilled. And Father, we'll be able to praise no one but you. Thank you, Father, for all that you're doing in each of our lives. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.